The rise of online sports betting. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Kimberly Adams. It's March Madness, and while millions of fans will enjoy watching the games, a decent chunk of them will also be betting on the games. Dozens of states have legalized online sports betting in recent years, with apps like FanDuel and DraftKings fighting for the eyes and dollars of new gamblers. John Holden is an assistant professor in the Spears School of Business at Oklahoma State University.
The companies are putting out a lot of promotions, trying to induce new customers through free bets or matching offers. At the moment, these companies are spending between $300 and $400 per customer in customer acquisition costs.
What has been behind this shift in recent years for all these states to legalize sports betting, and it's particularly online?
I think the big push is, you know, the constant proverbial story of states are looking for new ways to raise money that doesn't involve raising taxes. And sports betting is sort of that shiny unicorn right now. I think states have largely misunderstood the economics behind sports betting. One thing that often gets overlooked is that historically about a 5% margin that sports books operate on, and then the taxes are coming out of that number. So we'll see massive amounts of money bet on March Madness. But really, when we look at the gross gaming revenue that sports book operators are making out of that, it's a much, much smaller number than the billions that we'll see wagered.
How do these online sports gambling companies authenticate that users are betting legally, whether it be that they're in the right state or that they're the appropriate age?
We're starting to see a trend towards companies allowing verification online. Typically, it involves, you know, taking a photo of your driver's license, uploading it. And these systems verify it against hundreds, thousands of online databases and ensure that you are who you say you are. With this being regulated at the state level instead of the federal level, states need to ensure that people are within those state boundaries betting as opposed to outside those boundaries. So what they do is they employ a company or companies that monitor where you are based on your cell phone, and they determine that you're within a permissible area in order to bet.
What has this expansion of online gambling meant for people with problem gambling?
One of the things that is, I think, concerning to a lot of people who watch the problem gambling space and the gambling space more broadly is that, you know, at one time, these people were going to a physical location where there's a dealer at the table, there's someone behind the sports book who can say, hey, you know, take a minute, time out. Now, people are doing it on their phone. They're doing it from their living room. No one is physically watching them do this. So I think at some point, there will be need to be more done than simply including problem gambling phone numbers. There'll need to be more interactive action from online sportsbook operators to help people who are displaying problem tendencies.
Does the fact that these are mobile phone apps and it's a bit more gamified affect the risk for problem gambling?
Yes, I think it absolutely does. There is a real risk that, you know, what we saw with Robinhood over the summer, where, you know, there were concerns from Congress that they were effectively gamifying investing. And, you know, I think that similar concerns have been raised with sports betting, and these are not unreasonable concerns. I think that this is stuff that regulators could take steps to impose restrictions on allowing apps to appear a certain way, certainly imposing limits on the number of wagers per hour, things like that to slow things down. And I think these are kind of reasonable steps that we will see moving forward.
John Holden is an assistant professor at Oklahoma State University. And now for some related links. If you or someone you know might be displaying problem gambling tendencies, we've included some resources from the National Council on Problem Gambling on our website, marketplacetech.org. The council also helps run the National Problem Gambling Helpline Network, which can be reached at 1-800-522-4700. We'll also include some links to the responsible gaming pages and tools associated with some of these apps. For example, FanDuel allows users to set limits on deposits and the number of contests you can enter. Finally, we'll link to a piece out this week from Bloomberg on FoxBets, a sports betting app run by the parent company of Fox News, which is only available in 4 states and is struggling to compete. Like John said, the industry is booming, but not all platforms are winners. Jesus Alvarado, Sasha Fernandez, and Daniel Shin produce our show. Gary O'Keefe is our engineer. Michael Lipkin edits the show. I'm Kimberly Adams, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.